Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Well, welcome back, and thanks for listening. This segment of the show is brought to you by Delta Business Services. Delta has developed a system where they can buy your business. If you're a small professional service business, you should give Delta Business Services a call. Check them out on our website at exitcoachradio.com. And now I'd like to bring up our guest, Jack Bass of Jack A. Bass & Associates. And Jack is a principal of Jack A. Bass & Associates. And he's going to talk about franchising your business. You can build your exit strategy and create greater wealth by franchising your successful business model. Jack's going to build your franchise, and he'll even invest in it to keep your cash costs to a minimum. So, Jack, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you here, Jack. You know, the first thing we like to do is ask our guests to share a little bit with our listeners about their background, who they are, and what they've done to come to this station in life. So could you share a few words about your background with us?
Okay. I was a lawyer for a number of years. I did extensive teaching on business law and starting your own business. And from that, I went into management consulting, where I've been for the past 20-plus years. That's how I come to franchising and tax advice.
And Jack, so in your business model now, you help people that have a current business or an idea for a business who want to branch out and franchise. Is that what you do?
Yes. What is often happening in your topic, the exit strategy, is I find my clients are trying to shut down what they've been doing. Once they start anticipating leaving the business, they cut off the parts of the business that aren't making money, but they slow down themselves because mentally they've already left. And my idea is that if you want to sell for the maximum amount of money, which everyone does, then what you really want to do is concentrate on either growing the business now, or at least through franchising, is offer the potential to the next buyer for greater wealth. That way they'll pay you more money.
I like that idea. We're always actually trying to help our business owners understand that regardless of whether they plan to franchise, they should be building their processes and systems. Is that a big part of preparing for a franchise?
That is essential. You've got to offer a model that other people can see themselves stepping into and that they see the potential for growth. So the first case is you've got to at least have a clean balance sheet, and you have to show a history of in your finances that you're actually growing and that your model is something that can be replicated by others. And, of course, you use a consultant like myself to develop the manuals, the operating system manuals, the training system, and the actual sales, because very few people are qualified to do all of that together. My business in law and business qualifies me to do that or to assist business owners in doing that.
Now, Jack, in an ideal situation, how much of that would they have already started to prepare before they come talk to somebody like you? And if they haven't done that, what should they be doing before they talk to somebody like you?
Well, talking is at no cost, so do that right away. But ideally what you want to do is have at least one model running, and that model has to be profitable. I've run into many people who say, well, I have this great idea, or I've been working just last week a number of years, 3 years, that this lady has been running a retail store, and she's not made any money. Well, that isn't a model that can be saleable. So if you've ever watched Shark's Den, you can see the first question they ask is, what are your sales? And what is your profitability, and how do you qualify the number of dollars you're asking for against making little profit or no profit? So you want to have a model, you want to have that profitable, or at least you want your finances to be on a pro forma basis pointing to profit, and than you can charge for that potential.
Oh, makes sense. I know a lot of small business owners especially work with their tax advisors to minimize their profit while they're running their business by reinvesting and growing their business. Is there a kind of a range of acceptable margin out there that a franchise buyer might look at as acceptable?
Well, what the franchise buyer is usually looking at is buying themselves a job. So mm-hmm. It depends if they're going to be the manager of your store and they are taking that over. They can see to themselves, if they pay $250,000 for your business and they can make $50,000 a year as a manager's salary, they can see at worst that in 5 years they'll buy themselves out or they'll pay themselves back the money they invested. So generally you're looking at 3 to 5 times the profit. So if you're making $30,000 a year, you're going to be selling for $90,000 to $150,000, and they can buy themselves a business. What you want to offer by the franchise model is saying, yes, you're going to be earning $30,000 to $50,000, but if you follow the model I've been setting up or have set up, you can see that you could pay me 10 times that, twice as much as what you might do for a single store, because the franchise offers that potential. So look at what you're earning now. If you've been minimizing your return, or your accountant has, you have to explain to the buyer that it's worth more than what shows up on your taxation. And too many small owners, unfortunately, they operate on a cash basis, and then they try to wink their way to a sales figure. But a buyer looks at the numbers, and if the numbers aren't there, then your sales price is going to go far down.
Well put. I like the phrase wink their way, because that's exactly what happens is they say, well, yeah, I don't make any money, but it is making money, right?
But and unfortunately, as I said, because of my law background, I can tell you that when you present a written statement and they buy on that statement, they can't then sue you saying, oh, yes, but he told me that under the table he was making $50,000 a year. That won't go anywhere. So from a buyer's standpoint, they won't pay you for money that you wink at or money that you say or hint that you're making. You've got to show real numbers. If you're looking at buying, then get your numbers together, because that really is the basis, an objective basis that a buyer can look at and go to his advisors. If he comes to me, I can look at those numbers and say, well, this business is worth X dollars or to this range. And if the business is showing nothing, it's worth nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no E in the EBITDA, no multiples, right, correct?
Right.
So now we hear a lot about getting your financials, or getting your accountant to review or audit even financials. Is that necessary in smaller businesses?
No, in smaller businesses, don't pay for an audit. A good pro forma, you can do your pro forma yourself by using one of the systems that you can buy for $99 at a store. If you haven't got that, you've likely got a bookkeeper who can prepare a pro forma 3 to 5 years. When you're buying, 3 years is as good as you could really project. 5 years is too much out in the future where the numbers are not likely to be realistic. But mm-hmm. you can easily see what today's earnings are and project them 1, 2, and 3 years in advance. You can do that yourself, or it's preferable to use an accountant who knows how to use a spreadsheet and can do a nice presentation for you. Presentation, like food, is everything. So do it properly. Don't try and do it on the back of an envelope. Don't try mm-hmm. and do it just yourself and show a shoebox instead of a qualified return.
Now, Jack, a lot of businesses, as you know, got really taken apart after 2008, and they're just starting to recover now, and a lot of them seem to be starting to show a nice profit again. What would be your advice to people who are just kind of coming out of those weeds? Should they think about getting this ready now while they're on their way up? Because obviously, if the next wave of another recession comes along and they're on their way down, it's too late. Yeah. So how soon in advance should they start this planning and preparation?
It's always, today is as good day as any, and tomorrow is too late. So start as soon as you can. Usually, and I've done a lot of business plans, as you may guess, and business plans have to be re-examined. So if they did a business plan back in 2009, it's out of date. The numbers are out of date, and the thinking is out of date. So what I urge people, at least on a 6-month or at least a 12-month basis, is revise your business plan, revise your numbers. That way you're always prepared. Somebody walks through the door, you can reach out and show them a business plan that's only 6 months out of date, and then in that business plan you're always having a risk assessment, so you can see what is coming or how you'll anticipate problems and what you're going to react to them. But what I want to emphasize for people is that if you're already a profitable model, if your business can be franchised, start that system. To develop a franchise takes 6 months. So even if you start today, you're only going to have a full system in place 6 months from now. And that's like playing chess. You've got to anticipate your moves in advance in order to be a winner.
And with that being said, what is the outlook from your perspective for franchising? It seems to have exploded in the last few years. Is it getting to the point where it's saturated yet, or is it just a continuing growing model?
Well, it's a trend. As long as the economy is growing, and the economy in the United States is just coming out of recession, the last figures were 288,000 jobs added, and that is a high point of the last 6 months. But we've been expanding for 6 months. So with that expansion, then franchises are looking better than ever. Naturally, there are areas that are better than others. You may read that a cupcake franchise just failed in New York. It was kind of a faddish type of thing. But other franchises, as you look around, you can see that the number of restaurants is constantly expanding. So the key is, do you have a product that's, if not unique, at least very, very good, well-liked by people? If people are coming into your store and saying, gee, we need this one back in our hometown, or I wish you would have one in our state, this is exactly what we'd be looking for. You've got a model that other people want and other people will pay for, and that you can give that growth to yourself, and then when your exit strategy comes about, you have something of value to pass on.
That's great, great information. And, you know, one trend we're seeing, of course, is the aging of America. They say that over 10,000 people are turning age 50 and 65 for the next 15 years. And that means a lot of people are getting to a point where they might be either retired from a job or selling a business and saying, I don't want to sit around and do nothing. I want to rewire instead of retire and start a business. So franchises seem like they'd be an excellent place to look because of the vast number and the business in a box.
You're exactly right. A great number of people have retired and are looking for something to keep active, but there's also a tremendous number of people who have been displaced by the recent recession, and they have funds that they can reinvest. They're not ready to sit at home, but they need a model that they can be comfortable with. If you can provide that model, you have an almost unlimited market for your business.
Now, when people are saying, okay, I've got a business and I want to franchise it, do you help them figure out what they should charge for a franchisee to buy into it?
Yes, it is generally based on a multiple of what the person is going to make. So what you can do, if you're just starting, if you only got the single location, what I urge people to do is start at a low end, and that's generally something in the range of $25,000 for the franchise fee itself. Then they're paying annually, they pay 4% in sales to you, and then they have a contribution towards the advertising. But that can be smaller at the front end, because if there's only two or three stores, you don't need a big advertising revenue. You don't try and make all of your money on the first two or three people who buy a franchise. So I ask my clients, start at the low end, even if it's $20,000, $15,000. Then gradually, as you expand and you have a better product to offer and more stores to show, you can go up to $25,000, $30,000, $35,000, $40,000. It's a scale that you go. Start low, bring your money, build your franchise, then charge more money.
Great advice, and thank you very much for clarifying that. I'm sure it's something that a lot of our listeners are concerned about and thinking about. Now, if you would, just give us a couple examples of what you think might be good businesses, types of businesses to franchise as you look around the landscape and look at opportunities that are out there.
You want to look at things that you can see or successful in your community where you're already located. So one example that people often start with restaurants. Now, it's true that restaurants are a very competitive industry, but you know what Webster said, or Daniel Webster, who a great American, was told that he shouldn't become a lawyer because there was too many lawyers already. He said, there's always room at the top. So if you've got a good concept in restaurants, you can duplicate that. What I'm seeing now is delis, and a deli that makes not only fresh food, but offers catering, so that the same set store, whether it's 600 or 900 square feet, as a caterer doesn't require that operation, and you've got half of your revenue coming from sales of people not having to sit in the deli. Deli, bakeries, restaurants are a great growth item. So it depends on your food, and can you teach that to other people? Because remember, what you're doing in franchising essentially is telling people, I have a successful model, I can give you a copy cutter, and you can duplicate this in any other setting. That's where I would start. But you're not limited to food. You can go for an auto body store. There's a very successful here chain where I'm located in Vancouver, Canada, and they've multiplied. Now they have about 35 stores, and it's basically auto body shops that have come and aligned themselves. So instead of building franchises, what they've done is sold their concept to existing auto body shops who rebrand themselves under the franchise name. But I think truly, it's unlimited. As long as you have a niche or you have a successful model already, you can promote that to other people.
How about the flip side? What are some things that you would, if someone called you, you would tell them, no, don't do that. It's overdone, or it's just a difficult model?
A difficult model might be emulating a Subway store or Quiznos. Because you have two big operators. Subway in particular does not give much protection to its own franchise, so you have a Subway store on every corner. That is a difficult model to overcome. Quiznos fought them with a little bit of a higher or better product, but I don't urge people to go head-to-head with somebody who's multiplying in their neighborhood. So you want to be careful that whatever offering you're giving can be successfully differentiated from the competition.
Jack, this is a fascinating interview, and unfortunately we're running out of time, but you had a couple tips for our listeners. Could you share the three tips that you have for our listeners?
Well, I want to leave you with just this thought. If you're already an owner of a successful business, think if your model can be duplicated. And if it can, I would urge you to start today on duplicating that. Secondly, on your tax advisors and lawyers, be careful that you're having someone who is an encourager, not someone who acts and tells you all the difficult things that you're going to face, because that will overwhelm you and discourage you. And finally, I have another site which is called the Tax Guru, Tax Haven Guru. There are many areas that you can save taxes on to increase your bottom line so that you can offer your business at a higher price. There are always options for you. Explore the options. They cost nothing now to design, to look at, to talk to people about before you set forth on spending any money.
Well, I love this topic, and I really appreciate the way you present things. It's clear, it's understandable, and it makes complete sense for our listeners. So, Jack, you have a book out as well, correct, on Amazon?
Well, my books are all on investing. That's my own hobby. So They're not related to franchising or taxation, but if you go to Amazon, you can buy my book, The Apprentice Millionaire Portfolio, and my second book just came out a few months ago. That's The Gold Investor's Handbook.
Well, I would think after listening to you speak about franchises that those are probably no-nonsense, straightforward, easy to understand, and very readable as well. So I would encourage our listeners, get in touch with Jack. Jack, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Email is info@jackbassteam.com. The website is www.jackbassteam.com. And the tax blog is taxhavenguru.com. It's a WordPress blog.
So very simply, listeners. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm open if people want to call me. My number is 604-858-3202. And there's no cost or obligation. If you have questions, just give me a call or send me an email.
Well, that's fantastic. We didn't get to all of the information, so I'd love to have you come back and maybe talk to us again about maybe more detailed. We can get into more technical information. But I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today. And for our listeners out there, you know, another alternative to grow your revenues and grow your business and sustain, create a legacy, create additional businesses. So give Jack a call, 604-858-3202, or visit his website. What do you have to lose? www.jackbassteam.com. Jack, thanks very much for joining us today.
A pleasure. I hope to talk to you again.
All right. Thank you very much.
Bye for now.
Been talking with Jack Bass of Jack Bass Team, and we're going to take a quick break and come back and speak with Larry Bell about deferred compensation alternatives for nonprofit executives, so please stay tuned.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the show for age 50-plus business owners. We're interviewing over 250 professional advisors for their tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well planned. We upload new 20-minute interviews and 1-minute highlights every day at ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.